Okay, I'm going to explain this, and B is going to start. I love this. Okay, listen up. This is the orange dinosaur. And it simply comes from this scripture where we're not overcomplicating things, but we're going to just ask God to change something about the picture. So all of you, just quickly close your eyes. And I want you to imagine an orange dinosaur in your imagination. It's not God, it's just you. Yeah? Orange dinosaur. Just imagine one. If you are really struggling to see an orange dinosaur, do a pink elephant. Okay? You can open your eyes again. What's going to happen now is person B, you're going to close your eyes. You're going to see that picture again, whether that's the dinosaur or if it's a pink elephant or it's your living room. I don't care really what it is. You do it and then you say this to Jesus. Jesus, will you change something about this picture that is relevant to the person in front of me? So then something in your head, because God uses your imagination, you are one, remember, He uses your imagination, your redeemed imagination, and He's going to change something about it. The dinosaur might grow, it might change color, there might be a sudden a second dinosaur, it might just be a different type of dinosaur. One person that did this, he suddenly saw a dinosaur and he got sunglasses on. He's like, that's a bit random. So he said to the person in front of him, can I just say, oh, the only thing I'm seeing is this dinosaur has got sunglasses on. I feel that God wants to give you some sunglasses. Now, that turned out to be my friend, and my friend said, no way. It's my birthday next week, and I wrote my birthday list today, and I wrote right on the top some new sunglasses. Did it change his life? No. However, it was such an encouragement from the Father, yeah? Another person did this and walked over to a lady, and the dinosaur had like a curved back. And then the curved saw the dinosaur standing up straight after they asked Jesus. And they prophesied over the lady in front of them, I feel that God wants to give you confidence. No longer you have to live in shame, but you can stand up straight. And she was like, wow, that's exactly what God is speaking to me about. That was awesome. Then we did the whole exercise again, not having shared this story. Someone else walked to this lady, closed her eyes, saw a dinosaur with a curved back, saw the dinosaur standing up straight, prophesied, I feel that God wants to give you confidence as your back straightens. She was like, no way. See, sometimes we overcomplicate things, but just we want to be encouraging, strengthening, and are building to the person next to us because they're made in the image of God. So we're going to strengthen. So, person B, go for it. Close your eyes, ask the Holy Spirit, and then prophesy about it. Two things I want to say. First of all, I'm so excited for you. I really am. God is doing something really powerful today. Second of all, we're not scared of emotions. We're not scared of emotions. So if you have to cry, you cry. If you sow with tears, you will reap with songs of joy. So let's create an environment and a culture where anyone can show their emotions and accept them no matter what is going on. Well done for sharing. Fantastic. Great. So, as you can see in Jeremiah 1, it says, I do not know how to speak for I am too young. Now, often when we talk about the prophetic, I'll let you find your seats. It's like musical chairs going on. Just creatures of habit, aren't we? We like our own seat. So often when I talk to people about the prophetic, there are so many objections that come to the surface. I am too young. I am too old. I'm not clever enough. I don't have any educations. I don't have any degrees. I'm not persuasive enough. I stutter. I do this. I do that. Here is the truth. It's all a lie from the enemy. All alive from the enemy. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 3 when Paul talks about himself? I'm not persuasive, I'm not eloquent, but it's the Spirit of God inside of me. Yes, it is not about how gifted you are, it is about your identity. Never ever forget that. If it was a problem for Jeremiah, it's going to be a problem for your communities. Wherever you are, whatever small group you're in, whatever place you're in, that is often going to be a lie. And we have to help people to overcome that by making it very simple and to identify the lies and get rid of them. Yes? Okay, first thing about the prophetic is it reveals the heart of the Father. See, there is no manual, as I said, in the scriptures about how to do the prophetic. But what it does talk about, and especially in 1 Corinthians, many of you will know the scriptures about in 12, 13, and 14, is it talks a lot about what God wants to reveal his heart to the people. And it even says if unbelievers come among you and people's hearts are being exposed, they will fall on the floor and will give glory to God and say, God is here. God is here. And so often we just want people to get into an encounter with the living God. And God wants to reveal his heart to people constantly. See, if accuracy and power is your goal, you will give up when it doesn't happen. But if love is your motivation, and you don't necessarily see the accuracy of power, you will never give up, because that's always relevant. We do want accuracy, and we do want the power of God. Yes, I'm all for that. But let's have a heart of God, and the value of people, and call that out. There was one story of TSM. We went out on the streets, and we have several teams. We have about 6 to 8 teams going out all at the same time. About 80 people out on the streets at the same time. It's great. And we have story time at the end. And there was one team that went out, and they were just roaming around, and they saw all the ladies sitting on the bench. And one of the team members felt God say to her, just something very simple. We can all do this, yeah? Something simple. Just feel that God is saying to her, buy her some flowers and say that I love her. So he did. And he walked over to the flower shop, went to the lady and said, hey, I'm a Christian. I know this is a bit odd, but I felt God saying to buy you some flowers. I bought you some flowers and just want to say you're appreciated in our society and God really loves you. She's like so blessed, so touched. Simple prophetic act. Now, what I loved was that team went around the corner, disappeared. 5 minutes later, a different team came to the same place. And one of the ladies looked over to this elderly lady and felt God say to her, ask that lady, why has she got the flowers? Now, if you don't know the end of the story, the whole story, that is a random thing, yeah? Completely random. So she walks over to her and says, hey, can I just ask you a question? It's a bit random, we're Christian. Blah, 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 blah. Why have you got the flowers? And she's like, what? She's like, what have I done to deserve such blessings? Well, let me tell you, Jesus loves you. He loves you, and you are not unseen. You're not overlooked, but you are part of our society, and we think you're the bee's knees. They didn't say that, but I made that up. That last bit. You know what? The prophetic doesn't have to be complicated. Only about 5% of all the prophetic is supposed to be in a room like this. I love it. I love the contributions. I love prophesying here over each other. But what is the point? To reveal the heart of the Father to wherever we are, to your colleagues, to the person next to you. We had a lady that worked in a company where they make weapons for army, yeah, for the military. And obviously, that is a whole bunch of people, a company full of blokes that they work on, engineers, and she's the only lady in her department of about 25 that works in that department. And she decided the culture here is not very encouraging. So what she decided to do is just on a random day, she got 20 postcards. She wrote down a prophetic encouragement for every single one of her colleagues, put it on the desk and ran home. Next day, she got called in to the office of her boss, and she's like, oh, here we go. Here we go, here we go. And he said, sat her down, and he said to her, thank you so much for the card. In 20 years that I've worked here, no one's ever thanked me. No one's ever thanked me. Can I just suggest to you, the prophetic isn't hard. But it's about revealing the heart of the Father. And so many people walk around unseen. If you feel unseen sometimes, and I think you would lie if you don't feel that sometimes, how much more the people that are not in a church community like this feel absolutely unseen. And a simple act of courage and obedience to show the heart of the Father is going to change your workplaces, your families, and the church. 1 Corinthians 13. If you have all prophetic powers and you have faith that can move mountains, but you have not love, you are nothing. Not even it's nothing. No, you are nothing. That's a big statement. The point is not accuracy. The point is God's love. I've said it about 16 times now. Are you getting it? Good. Fantastic. We can move on then. The next thing is, it reveals the glory of God. See, in one, I already mentioned this verse. If all prophesy, 1 Corinthians 14:25. If all, notice the word all, prophesy, and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by, let's try that again. If all prophesy, and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by, oh yeah, good job. Yeah. That's the northeast for you. Joking. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare, God is really among you. Now, I read that, and I just paused. And there's this little bit in there that says, falling on his face. That's just a random thing to happen, isn't it? If you're not charismatic, at least. Or Pentecostal, that's just an odd thing to happen. Falling on his face. And I just tracked and did a bit of a study about where all in Scripture do people fall and what is the common denominator. Now, there's a couple of places. John fell in the presence of Jesus' glory at the Transfiguration in Matthew 17. The soldiers who arrested Jesus fell to the ground in John 18. Saul, when he on the road to Damascus, when he encountered Jesus' glory, he fell at the conversion. And then there's this moment in Revelation 1 where, I'm going very quickly, I realize this, but Revelation 1 where John the Revelator is prophesying and he says this, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, with a golden sash around his chest. The powers of his head were white, like a white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like a roar of many waters. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. See, every time in scriptures, when people fall, it's always to a response of the glory of God. And the glory of God is his perfection, is his beauty, is his amazingness on display. It's his holiness on display. That's what the glory is. The glory means kavod in Hebrew, and it's the weightiness of God. That's what it means, the weightiness of God. And when the weightiness of God is present, people just fall all over the place. Honor the glory of God. What's the important bit? Not the falling, but the glory of God. The glory of God. And this says, if all prophesy, not the two or three prophets, not the leader up front, not Lovely Alan, not everyone, but everyone, it says. If all prophesy, then the glory of God is being revealed. So, when then, Paul says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially prophecy, he's not talking about the fluffy charismatic addition to our solid evangelical foundation. That's how often we see stuff like that, spiritual gifts. We see it as lovely, fluffy, we have a bit of a laugh, and it's a bit encouraging. But no, that's not why Paul is saying eagerly desire. He is saying, I know when everyone in this room prophesies, the glory of God is being revealed. And that is our purpose as Christians, is to glorify God and to see his glory revealed. Do we not want the knowledge of his glory to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea? Do we not want... Come on! If all prophesy, it's not a charismatic, fluffy addition. Pursue God in people's lives because we will see the glory of God being revealed. And that's what we want. Okay, next. It reveals value in people. So it reveals the heart of the Father. It reveals the glory of God. And it reveals value of people. Isaiah 55 and 54 prophesy about the different covenants. And it talks about the covenant of Noah and the covenant of Abraham and Moses. And they all had different signs attached to it. Covenant of Noah was the rainbow. The covenant of Moses was, that's a difficult one. Anyone? Sprinkling of blood. Well done. And the covenant of Abraham. Sure. Go on. Circumcision. Yeah. Who said that? Now, yeah, I said that. Well done. I had to look at it again, so don't worry. But then it prophesies about, he says, basically God says in Isaiah 54 and 55, I have not forgotten about those covenants. I will fulfill those covenants. However, the next covenant is going to be about making everything new. That's the sign of the covenant that we live in right now. And he says that by symbolic language. He says, thorns turning into cypress trees, living in joy and peace. And it's by marked by things, dead things coming to life. That's the sign of the covenant that we live in now. That's the theology of the kingdom of God. You know, I mentioned it yesterday briefly, but Revelation 21, the new Jerusalem coming down. And what does God say? I will make all things new. And he started that with Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. That's the purpose and the mission of God on bringing heaven on earth, the kingdom of God to earth. And the sign of that is not the sprinkling of blood, it's not the rainbow, it's not circumcision, it is him making all things new. And that is our mandate as Christian ambassadors. I know that's a bit of deep thinking right there. However, how that is relating to prophecy is when we speak words, physical words, it's not only a lovely encouragement, it is actually bringing life. It's making things new. It is bringing life where there is death. It is bringing joy where there is mourning. It is bringing the presence of God. It's bringing justice. It's bringing all those things into people's lives. And it wakes people up. It wakes people up. It is extremely powerful. And it's really fun that we get to partner with God himself in bringing words of life. This is why scripture talks about the tongue being so powerful. It says there is life and death in the power of the tongue. And James talks about the rudder, how important it is. What's the point? Our words are powerful because we're made in the image of our Creator and his words are powerful. So when we speak words of God, it creates order out of chaos. That was a long way of saying it's important. And it reveals value in people's life. We often say, do not stumble over who people are not, but focus on who people are in God. And we use this analogy of the gold mine. You know that the miners only are fixed on one thing. They're not fixed on the dirt. They're fixed on finding the gold. And it's their job is done if they get overwhelmed by the dirt. That's when they pull out. That's when they leave. But if they get overwhelmed by the vision of the gold, then they stay. And so often we leave people's lives in our families, in our church. We find new friends. I went on a new cycle of friends about every 3 years. That's the story of my, especially before I came to Bedford. Every 3 years I had about a new set of friends. Because I just kept rejecting them. Because I was getting overwhelmed by that dirt. After every 3 years. Now the same thing happened the other way around. But we are meant to live differently. By recognizing the gold in someone's life. And not being overwhelmed by the dirt. I'm not saying we ignore the dirt. But we're not overwhelmed by it. Because the only way that people get to repentance is not by reminding them of their sin. It's about reminding them of their value in God. His kindness brings to repentance. And the prophetic is absolutely key in that. Because we just don't want to keep talking about that dirt. I know the dirt in my life. You don't have to remind me. But what I forget all the time is that I'm created in God's image. That I'm a son, that I'm a daughter, that this, that, the other. Yeah? Or in other ways, this is how Moana says it. You are amazing! there we are. Let's move on. C.S. Lewis says this. You have never talked to a mere mortal. There are no ordinary people. And he said, if you would meet people in their future state in heaven, you will be tempted to worship them. That's how beautiful people are. It's beautiful, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 5 says it like this. We don't regard people according to the world anymore. We saw Jesus as a mere human before, but because of Jesus, we are now ambassadors to tell people that the old is no longer and the new has come. Their sin is no longer counted against them. God is making his appeal through us. That's your ministry of reconciliation. Here's the truth. No one here is ordinary. You are a world changer because you carry God's glory. And we just have to keep reminding people of that. I saw a French preacher saying, and I translated it. He said, love people until they ask why. Such a great phrase, isn't it? Love people until they ask why. Have you had people in your life ask you, why the heck are you loving me so much? I don't deserve it. That's when you know you've loved beyond looking to the dirt and looking to the value of gold in people's lives.